Praise the Lord. All right. Praise God. Can't be hard to live off a touch. Huh? Say amen. That's right. Oh, brother. Praise God. Well, we appreciate the men here. We had a good time, met and prayed in the pastor's study. I thought that was legal. It was good. I enjoyed it, so we appreciate it so much. The book of St. John, chapter number 6. Our pastor had made mention of how that Brother Scott had preached here maybe the year before, whenever, I know not, but how that chapter 6 had been a blessing to him. Well, I don't know what part, or perhaps verse 1 all the way through, but I want to, as a man said, I want to ease a few things out of there. John chapter 6, verses 35 through 40. John 6, 35 through 40. When you have it, say amen. Are you going to light that up for me back there also, brother? You're a fine man. That way I'll know what I'm doing. Praise God. Huh? I may not read all the verses, and I'm not, but verse 35 through 40, Christ is speaking to them concerning about the bread of life. He's talking to them about deep truths that were misunderstood. You know, a lot of times the Lord was misunderstood. They did not grasp exactly what he had to say. And Christ had to repeat himself. And, you know, Christ was a straight shooter. You believe that? And he said, verse 25, he told them right up front, he said, some of you are seeking me. Some of you are following me simply because I'm giving out fish and et cetera. And we got a lot of folk today, that's the only reason they're serving God, because they think, you know, he's running a welfare line or a food stamp place. Say amen. But I'm telling you, brother, thank God, we need to love God with all our heart and serve him because of who he is and not what he can do for us. But I want to look at verse number 37, if you'll allow me. I'll just read that verse. Christ is talking here and speaking to us. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And may God help me and anoint me here tonight. You may be seated if you like. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I want to talk to us tonight on that thought. I will never turn anyone away. I will never turn anyone away. Verse number 37, in reading throughout this chapter, we find how that the Jews themselves were under the impression, and they wanted to make the impression, if you will, that we're the only ones. And Christ is coming for us and no one else. He'll be our Messiah, but no one else. He'll be our King, if you will, and no one else. But Christ laid it out straight concerning a universal opportunity. He said, I'm going to give, no matter who they are, no matter how they've lived, no matter what the case is, it is a universal opportunity. You know, I've been to some places. I've preached a few places in my day. And I've been around some folk, great God, they act like, talk like, do like, you know, I'm the only one going to heaven, just us and us four and our clique and all the above. But I'm going to tell you something, pal. If that be the case, we're going to have a lot more than 50-mile elbow room to shout. Come on now. I said there'll be a lot more room than 50 miles of elbow room to shout, if that be the case. But I'm glad tonight that, thank God, doesn't make any difference who we are. Doesn't make any difference how we live. Christ came to save whoever. Amen. Universal opportunity. Aren't you glad tonight you had the opportunity? Aren't you glad tonight that an invitation was given to you? I want to show us tonight that not only does this Bible teach us that in the beginning God created heaven and earth, but I want to show us a few things by the help of God. Not only in the beginning God created heaven and earth, but in the beginning God had a spiritual plan. In the beginning, he had it all worked out. And the plan was, sir, in the creation. Now, Christ was not created. I know there was in the beginning of the creation, and he said, let it be good. In the latter part, and he said, it was very good. But as far as the creation, Christ was not created. Christ had always been. The writer tells us in the book of Revelation that Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. He was slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, he knew that when that point in time came, that he would be put by the Holy Ghost in the marriage womb, in swaddling clothes, wrapped in a manger, that one day there'd come a time he would walk up a hill called Golgotha, 39 stripes on his back, blood flowing down his face, blood, thank God, coming out of his hands. Why? Because he said, I've come to do what? When I was in law enforcement sometimes, never will forget of how that we had to go and seek out people. And I'm telling you, that's what the Lord did. He come to seek and to save that which is lost. Thank God. In other words, God had a plan and created a plan in the beginning for whosoever. The poet put it this way, 'tis from the mercies of God that all our hopes begin. And in Genesis, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God, there was a creation of hope. Hope. Oh, thank God for hope. This is the mercy of God from the beginning. I love this. Amen. The Bible tells us, I've read us in the book tonight, thank God, in the book of Luke, of how the book of John, rather, how that he spoke to us and said how that he came to save and no one would be cast out. Now, I will in no wise cast them out, but thank God I will take the castaway. Isn't that great? I don't care what they've done, how far in sin they may have come, but he's in the saving business. Listen to me. In Luke chapter number 4, I want to take my time and read this to us. Christ walked into the temple that day. He had came back, the Bible said, in one place that he had been led by the Spirit to go in the wilderness. Another place said he was driven by the Spirit to go in the wilderness. There have been times that I've been led to go out there, and there have been times that I've been driven to go out there. But when he came back, he walked into the synagogue. One man said he went into the synagogue. Say amen. I love you. He went in the synagogue and walked in. I love how the Lord just makes it surreal here. In 4 and 17, and this scripture makes me feel good because it said he found the place where it was written. Now, not that the Lord, great God, didn't know where it was written, but he found the place. Now, I've seen time they call turning the book of Obadiah or the book of Micah. Uh-huh. I'm going to be frank with you. I had to find the place, brother. Praise God.
Look a little bit.
I just had. Yeah. I knew it. And I knew it was as a man said it was from Genesis to Revelation somewhere, but great God, I couldn't find it. Say amen. I'm going to have a time with you tonight. But he found the place, thank God. He found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Could I tell us tonight with no reservations, every need that man has were in those two verses. I said every need that man has, thank God, every need that man has was in those two verses. He had sent me. Who sent him? God the Father. I believe in the Trinity. I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I got to meet all three of them, praise God. Huh? He sent me to bring the anointed me to preach the gospel and etc., to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. In the book of Matthew, hear it now. I'm going to get down to it. Matthew tells us that there is going to be some cross bearing. If I live for God, am I going to have trouble? I know this charismatic group running around us today tells us no trouble, no trial. I'm going to tell you they lied to you. I said they lied to you. For I heard him say many of the affliction. I don't mean headache, backache, pal. Many are the affliction of the righteous. But the Lord delivered them out of them all. Come on, lift your hand and love God tonight. Troubles, trials, tribulations. We don't want to hear it. I mean, tell me about the good time. Tell me about the time when everything's going fine. Well, there are going to be some hard times. For Christ said in Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There are going to be some cross bearing if we serve God. There are going to be some rough times when you wonder where you're at. There are going to be some rough times when you hold on to a piece of a board. There are going to be rough times when they talking about you. You know what I told them? I said, great God, if they talking about me, they're thinking about me. Say amen. And it'd be talking about me and letting somebody else rest. Hallelujah. I've seen a lot of people getting rest, brother. See? I'll give you another little nugget here. They wasn't doing nothing but shooting their mouth off when their brain wasn't loaded. That's all they were doing. Come on, say amen. Come on, lift your hand. Love God. Turn around and tell somebody, I'm glad I'm in church. I'm glad I'm a child of God. I'm glad I'm saved. Sanctified, the man said. Holy Ghost filled. Fire baptized. Thank God. Woo! I was in Bristol years ago, brother. Daddy was out there. I'm standing at the altar. God knows my heart when I'm fixing to say. I stand at the altar. I looked up and saw the brother standing there. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, get a good look at him. That's what he said. Get a good look at him. When long he went on to the kingdom. Are you listening? Come on now. Oh, thank God. Hear me, beloved. Hear me tonight. Troubles, trials, tribulations, problems. What are we going to do? We're going to live for God. What are we going to do? We're going to serve notice on hell that for me and my house, I'm going to serve God. You're going to bear a cross. I want you to look with me tonight in Psalm chapter 60, verse number 3. I want to talk to us about that tonight. Psalm 60 and 3. Listen to it. Thou hast showed thy people hard times. Thou hast made us drink the wine of astonishment. M.S. Rice in his book, Hearing the Unheard, he said these words. There's no place for cheap talk or compromising attitude concerning a Christian. They are troubled times. They are cross-bearing times. This particular psalm is a, in the latter part, is a toss-up concerning about what the psalmist said. See, the first part of it said, thou hast showed thy people hard times. And we've had those hard times. We've had those troublesome times. I mean, I've been around my house when my bride came out and said, there's no food here. None. I said, oh, they ate something in there. They ate peanut, popcorn, Cracker Jack, fries, and each never packed. Praise God. They ate something around here somewhere. Glory to God. But you know, I walked in and looked in that cabinet, and sure enough, there is nothing. There's nothing. I told it till it's threadbare, beloved. Sitting right there on the front porch on 8th Street, Meridian, Mississippi. I told my family, we're going to pray. I said, God knows how to get us some food in this house. God knows how to do it. I'm telling you, Chad, Shannon, Todd, and my bride, we prayed. I'm sitting on that porch, full-time evangelist. About an hour and a half later, a man come pulling up in the car. He got out, and he had got saved under my ministry in one of those meetings in Meridian. He worked, he was a manager at a store. He said, I was at the store, Brother MacDonald. He said, I don't know how to tell you this. I said, great God, tell it. Tell it. Huh? Get it on. He said, I don't know how to tell you this, but he said, I was over there and the Lord spoke to me and said, the MacDonalds don't have no food. You get them some food. Praise God. I'm telling you, we walked out there. Them little boys of mine jumping them down. Praise God. We walked out there. I mean, the whole back seat full with food, son. The whole trunk, I mean, filled with food. You know that cheese, that round cheese? You know what I'm talking about? Praise God. I like it with a cracker every now and then. I'm telling you, brother, had about a half a roll back there. I said, I knew as God will, son, for you to pick that up. Come on. Come on. Praise God. Huh? If you live for me, Russell, I'll provide for you. If you live for me, I'll take care of you. Thank God. Come on, lift your hand and love God. Woo! If you'll serve me, if you'll love me, if you'll be faithful to me. Oh, oh. He showed me the hard times. Now this latter part. Thou hast made us drink the wine of astonishment. I read after several writers. I could not grasp what they were saying. Finally, if God wants you to listen to this, the psalmist, what he was saying was, he said, this wine, I've already drank of the wine of hard times. Why would God still want me to keep drinking of a wine of suffering, of a wine of heartache, of a wine of trouble, of a wine of tribulation? There's got to be a break somewhere. And finally, I read after a man, I said, you got it, pal. The rest of them missed it. Say amen. But David, I want you to listen to this. But David is writing about the experience of conquering the armies of Syria. It was so great a victory and deliverance that he likened it to the wine of astonishment. I love that, Brother Scott. The wine of astonishment. Mountains had melted before them. Barriers had come down. Doors had been opened. Hallelujah. Listen to it. I went to Webster. He's a little bit smarter than Russell. Say amen. You don't have to say amen to that, praise God. You don't really have to be in agreement with that. The word astonished means to fill with sudden wonder, to surprise, to be in amazement. God did not promise us an easy life, but God said, if you live for me and trust me, there'll be a time of astonishment. Come on, let's lift our hands. They're going to be rough times, but you're going to have some surprises. You're going to have some blessings. You're going to say, God, pull me through. When it seemed like you'd hear me, when it seemed like this nation was at the end, a man named General Washington went to Valley Forge, nailed down on frozen ground. Are you listening? Knelt down on frozen ground, laid hold upon an almighty God, held that arm. Thank God, the Bible said he rolled his sleeve up. I love that. Praise God. Amen. That's in your Bible. Thank God, Teddy rolled his sleeve up, brother. He said, if you don't do war with me, devil, let's rustle 5 and 5. Just brought yourself on. I'm telling you, thank God, but I'm telling you, there was an astonishment. I said, there was an astonishment. And America, I said, America, thank God, God helped them. When the assassin's bullet struck down Abraham Lincoln, a nation went through a tailspin again. But there was a man named James Garfield, listen, he pointed the way from chaos to order. I love that. And said, Lincoln is dead, but God still lives. And there was an astonishment. Come on, lift your hands and love God. There was an astonishment. Will God move? Yes, He will. Will things get any better? You may think they're not, but I come tell you by the help of God, it's going to get better. I read where in the funeral procession of King Edward of England, I love this, praise God, said how that there in that horse-drawn casket, that behind that casket of the king was a little terrier dog. That little dog was just following the king. And said people were looking, Shannon, at that little dog. But what really blessed them, and they really took notice of, was on the collar that was written the letters, I belong to the king. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Come on now. I come tell every demon of hell. I come tell every power of hell, brother. Things may look rough. Things may look bad. But thank God, I'm telling you, I'm going to drink some wine of astonishment. I'm going to lift your hand and love God. Oh, hallelujah. There's a better day of coming. The sun's going to shine. God's going to break through. God is going to move. God is going to move. There's about a dozen things I could tell you. Shad said one time, said, Daddy's got a lot of stories. I said, Daddy's been a lot of places. Huh? Shad, you and Monica come, Adrian, ever how you want to do it. I'm going to give you this. I'm talking about tonight, whoever will, he said, let him come. I'm not going to turn anybody back. I'm going to astonish you. Years ago, I was evangelizing out of Meridian, Mississippi. And I got a phone call from my brother. And in West Point, Georgia. He asked me, he said, could you come preach us a revival? And I asked him, he said, look, we don't have a pastor. He said, I'm just Sunday school superintendent. A pastor left. We don't have a pastor. And he said, there's not but about 5 or 6 of us. Would you come preach us revival? I said, I'll tell you what, pal. I'll pray about it, and I'll call you back. So after a few days of prayer, I called him. I said, I'll come over. And he said, why don't you come over on 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon? We have church. I went over at 2 o'clock that evening. Me and a friend of mine drove from Meridian and went to West Point, Georgia. And it's in a Methodist church about as half as large as this church. Great God, I'm telling you, brother, He turned that pulpit over to me. I mean, them Methodist people got it on, son. It's like climbing Kilimanjaro, praise God. I'm telling you, you had to get up on that rostrum. One fan is in the summertime, no cooling, just a fan back there. That's the way it was. I got through preaching and said, well, what do you think? I said, I'll come back. I'll be back sometimes tomorrow. I'll leave early in the morning, I'll come back. He said, we're going to have to find you a place to stay, too. We don't have any place to stay. We got back home. Now, this friend of mine tells my wife, he said, Sister Carolyn, he said, I've seen Brother Russell step out on faith before. But he said, I believe this time he's stepping out on ignorance. That's what he said. He's stepping out on ignorance. Do you believe it? I got over there and didn't have a place to stay. I went to a truck stop. I told him, I said, I got my bunk here, pal. You let me stay here. What are you going to do? I said, I'm going to be preaching. He said, we don't want no preachers here. That's what the man told me. We don't want no preachers here. You can't stay at this truck stop. Checked around another place, two men and brother did. Finally, it was a man in the hospital, been in the hospital over a month or so. God helped me later on and went him to the Lord before he went to heaven. But he sent word and said, I've got a house, but it's been closed up for months. He said, that preacher can stay there if he wants to. Great God, brother. I went in there and you talking about hot. It's just this side of hell, I believe. I'm going to tell you as a hot place, God. Oh, my God, help us. That's a hot place, son. Don't you listen to me. That Monday, before I left, and I speak as a fool here, I want you to stay with me and don't misunderstand me. But the Lord told me, I'm talking about drinking of this wine of astonishment of how that God will help. God spoke to me and said, you're going there, but here's what I'm telling you you're going to do until I tell you different. I said, what do you want me to do, Lord? He said, you can drink a little water every day, and every night I'm going to let you eat two pieces of bread until I tell you different. I had a friend of mine that had told me, Brother Dan Tubbs, he went to the same church I did. He said, I'm going to come over and stay with you. And not one night. I'm telling you, I went in that church. There wasn't nobody but five of us there. Two men, three women, that's it. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm preaching. I told him I preach everything I knew, some things I wasn't sure about. Say amen. But I'm telling you, brother, preaching my heart out. Staying up in that house. I'd get out of service, sister, and I went back over there that night. I had two pieces of bread to eat. Somebody said, that ain't fast. I'm going to tell you what, knock yourself out. Go home. Come on here. Huh? Yeah, see, glory to God. Praise God. Come on. Give it a few days. I'm telling you, when I got over there that night, I ate it real slow. By the time I knew it'd be 24 hours before I'd get me two more pieces of bread. That week went on, that brother came over where I was at. Brother Dan Tubbs was his name. He was in church with me that night. We got out of church. I said, well, we'll stay in this a house over here. He said, let's go get something to eat. I said, I got something at the house. He said, what you got? They got something over there for us? I said, I got about a half loaf of bread. I need to say this. His name is Tubbs. You got it, didn't you? Praise God. I mean, he lived up to it too, didn't he, Shannon? Yeah, he did. You got some over there? I said, yeah, man. We got over there, Brother Scott. He said, Brother Russell, is this what you've been eating? I said, yeah. He said, I'm with you, pal. Let's go. Glory to God. That's right. We're going on faith. Hear me. I speak of the food. I walked in that next night. I'm telling you, same ones there. About that time, I mean, they sang a couple of songs, going to turn over to me. I looked up. Here come two boys in, one young lady. I mean, it's been 40 years ago. I mean, boy, long hair, great God. I'm telling you, they came walking in. I mean, son, I'm thumbing. I'm going to get me something. I'm going to me, Lord, I'm going to preach tonight on the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I threw that net out. Cast that net out. Are you listening? Come on. Threw the net out. When I did, I'm telling you, one of those boys and that girl came to an altar. The other young man said he didn't want no part of it. I'm telling you, that boy, I don't know when the last time he had took a bath. But I'm telling you, when I got down next to him, you're talking about deliverance. Deliverance. Praise God, I'm telling you, deliverance came. Salvation came. The glory came. Thank God. He said, I will in no wise cast them out. I will take the outcast. I'll take the outcast. I don't care how you've lived, young man. What shape your marriage may be in tonight. That young man gave his heart to God. You listen? The next night, we went back to church. Here's a young man, his hair's cut as short as mine. Brand new white shirt on, pair of blue jeans. I looked at him, I said, you're the one? He said, yes, sir. He went on to become an Assembly of God preacher. Are you listening? Stay with me right here. God began to move. After about a few days, God said, I'm going to let you eat. And we went on into another week revival. Listen to me.
Praise God.
One night I was there. Here come a whole van load. A whole van load of them, brother.
Praise God.
Great God, I'm telling you, they had flowers all on the side of the van painted there. Flower children. Say amen. They said, when we come to church, I said, pal, you can come in here. I mean, tell you about 15 of them bailed out of there. You know what they did? Thank God. I mean, others had come. They'd been coming from Brent, Alabama, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, coming in there in Georgia and help us out. I mean, the church was about this size, like I said. Amen. Them young people came down. Thank God they didn't sit on no pew, brother. They just walked in, sat right in the middle of the floor, all the way across the front. Thank God. Whosoever will, let him come. I mean, tell you, I'm talking to us tonight. There came a time that God knowed my heart you couldn't get another creature in that house. They opened the windows up, opened the doors up. He's lined up out on the streets. Amen. Sing it. Listen to me. Won't you stand with me tonight? You say, Brother MacDonald, will God save me? Will God deliver me? You don't know where I'm at, preacher man. Don't you listen to me. You don't know where I was at either. See, there was a time in my life, beloved, that I sat at the end of a table with my lawyer. Sister MacDonald sat at the end of the table with her lawyer. Shad and Shannon, 5 years old. My lawyer asked me, he said, how much child support you going to pay? And he wrote down on it, I watched him when he wrote it, I said, I'll pay this much child support. My wife began to fast and pray. And she said, I said, for better, for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health. Thank God. Woo! And he saved. You know, if Sister MacDonald was here tonight, you know, if she was called on to testify, before she sat down, she'd say, God has been good to the MacDonald family. Had God been good to your family, don't you lift your hands and love God tonight. Sing it. You're here in this house tonight. You're lost. You're away from God. You're not where you need to be with God. We got some people in this church tonight. You've been playing around with God. And you know, should the Lord come or call, you're not where you need to be. You're not where you need to be. He's come for you tonight. Slain before the foundation of the world. To seek and to save that which is lost. Here's what I want us to do. You say we hadn't got enough room. We'll make room, thank God. Young man, young lady, listen to me. That you feel in your throat. That you feel in your chest. That pulling is Holy Ghost conviction. It's time tonight. I laid on my face today and cried and talked to God. I've been knowing where I'd heading all for 3 or 4 weeks. I love you as much as I love my own soul. Don't you listen to me. This altar's open. There's help. You're going to be astonished at what God would do for you. I tell you what, I want Monica and them to sing, Adrian. I want you tonight, you say, preacher, I'm at the end of my rope. I got to have help. God can deliver you. I want you to forget about who you are, what your name is, how long you've been in church. Come on, what your daddy's name is, what your mama's name is. You walk down that aisle and say, I've come for help tonight. I want you to step out. Come on. You need God to help you. You need God to move for you. Come on, young man, I'm talking to you right over here. I feel the Holy Ghost, God dealing with you tonight. God talking with you. Back here in the back, I feel the Lord dealing with somebody right back there. Come on, while God talks to you. Pray with me, church. Pray with me, church. Come on, pray with me in this house. Come on, while God moves. Oh, God. You say it's been a long time since I felt God, since I felt the power of God. You feel God now. You feel God right now. Our brother Scott preached this morning. He made a statement, I'm telling you. God touched my heart, I jotted down. Listen, there's something about feeling God's presence. And you're hungry And God loves you. And Christ said, I will never turn you away. Would you step out? Would you? Come on now. Step out. While God talks to you. While God deals with you. I want you to just tell that other one, I want you to ease on out of my way. Our brother talked about, I'm telling you, that day I got saved, the man said, you'll come to the altar and give your heart to God. I'm not going to go through all of it. I'm going to tell you something, pal. When I took one step, I was a saved man. Praise God. That's right. You're in this house tonight. You're in this house tonight. You need God to help you. I'm going to ask you one more time. They're singing it. I want you to step out. Step out. Come on.
He'll break every chain.
God can.
God can.
God can.
Set you free.
God can.
No matter what.
His word is true. You're in a battle. You're in a battle. You're at the end of your rope. You've said, where are you, God? I don't understand it, God. Let's make a move. Come on, let's find us somewhere to pray. Everybody, turn around, tell somebody, invite them to come. Come on, all over the house. We can pray up here. Come on, let's find us somewhere. Come on, son. Come on, young man. Come on, young lady back there. I want you to come. Come on, preacher. God can. God can deliver you.
I know His word is true.
I know. Come on, come on, that's it. God can set you free. Come on, don't walk out. I'm begging you, don't walk out. Come on, come this way. Come on down this way.